As we turn to the scriptures for this morning, this is the second Sunday of Advent. Right? Last week was the Sunday of hope. This is the Sunday of peace. Next Sunday, we'll be lighting the rose-colored candle, and that is the candle of joy. It also has a Latin term, which is also French, which I got more confused talking with Jeff and Karen Sauer about this past week. It is the Gaudete candle. And we'll talk more about that next week. And then the final blue one is the candle of love. And it will be lit the Sunday prior to Christmas on December 22nd. Then the Christ candle, the candle in the middle, will be lit on Christmas Eve. As we go through the season of Advent this year, we are using the lectionary text of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, to guide us. And we are reading Isaiah with the rest of the greater church during this season of Advent. Most of the selections that we are reading for Advent in Isaiah are some of the best-known passages from that prophet, apart from the suffering servant works found in chapters 40 through 55. As a quick review, right, Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet. He began his ministry when King Uzziah died. He was the king of Judah in 739 B.C., right? So nearly, well, close to 3,000 years ago. And he ministered and he prophesied and he received oracles from God until Sennacherib of Assyria's failed attack on Jerusalem in the year 701. Now, I know a lot of people, when you start to mention historical dates to them from the Old Testament, their eyes literally, I can see it from here, their eyes begin to glaze over. But others of you, you get very animated and you get excited about it because you have a passion for history. Well, I'm not sure who did that. It was from back there? Okay. Oh, goodness. But it's important that we understand these dates because it informs who we are today and how we understand the text. Right? King Solomon was the son of King David, and he was the last king to rule a unified, strong, and powerful tribal confederation of the Israelite people. There are 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob, and they became very strong. They became consolidated under David. They grew under Solomon. But when Solomon died in the year 931 BC, this large nation, which if you were to look at a political map today, would take up what is today Israel, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, parts of Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Turkey, a large nation in the Middle East. It was broken into two very small, very vulnerable nation states. They could no longer defend themselves from outside predators. Where those nations are, where the nation of Israel is today, that was a crossroads of commerce and trade between the wealth of Egypt and the lands of Assyria and the Hittites and the Babylonians. And it was a coveted piece of ground. Now, because they'd broken into two very small nations, they could easily succumb to the power of a greater one. And at the time that Isaiah was working, when he was receiving these visions from God, there was a very powerful nation to the north called Assyria. And Assyria was ruled by a man named Sennacherib. And Sennacherib wanted to add Egypt to his dominion. And Egypt is to the south. And the only way to get from Assyria to Egypt was to go through the trading highways, the coastal lands of Israel, or Judah. In the year 722 BC, when Isaiah has been working for roughly 17 years as a prophet, the northern kingdom fell. The kingdom of Israel fell. The capital, Samaria, was destroyed, and the people of that land were sent into exile into other areas of Assyria. And if you look at a map today, Assyria would be like northern Iraq, the Caucasus areas. And then after the people were removed in exile, the Syrian practice was to take other peoples and bring them into the conquered land. Right? So that land would forget its identity. That land would forget its heritage. That land would forget its story. Well, then, after the Assyrians had done this to the northern kingdom, Judah, just this little tiny country, dominated by the city of Jerusalem, was poised to be conquered. And the people lived in fear. The people were anxious because they didn't know at what point the Assyrians were going to move south into their land and to do the very same thing to them that they had done to their northern cousins. It's an amazing thing how the northern and southern kingdoms broke apart. After all, they're from a shared family. They have a common heritage in the man Jacob. They have a shared pedigree, a shared faith, a shared national story, shared myths of how they came to be as a people. And yet, despite having all of this in common, they grew to despise one another. If you were to look back in the United States in the 1850s and 1860s, you see a nation with a shared faith, a shared national story, shared national heroes, yet one that could not maintain unity. And they broke into two and broke out into bloody civil war over the course of 4 years. But the people of Judah, the people of Jerusalem were struggling. They were scared and they were frightened. And as we come to the reading for this morning, from Genesis or from Isaiah chapter 11, we need to read just a few verses before that in chapter 10. Because I shared a secret with you before, but it's worth repeating. The Bible was not written in chapters and verses. Right? Isaiah did not sit down and say, today I'm going to draft Isaiah chapter 11 and let it stand on its own. Because if you begin at chapter 11, the very opening line wouldn't make any sense to us. But if we look back just a few verses, we read that beginning roughly at verse 24, chapter 10, verse 24, we see that Assyria, in a vision that Isaiah is receiving, is moving from the north. She's coming from the nation Israel, who she's just recently conquered and sent the people into exile and replaced them with another people, and that the armies of Assyria are moving south, conquering village after village, town after town. It's as if an immense forest is growing south from Israel towards Jerusalem, and that forest, those strong timbers and trees, are the armies of Assyria. We read, madmen as in flight, the people of Gabin take cover. This day they will halt at Nob. And Nob is the hill immediately to the north of Jerusalem overlooking the city. And there they, the Assyrians, will shake their fist at the mount of daughter Zion, at the hill of Jerusalem. See, the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled, the tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. Okay. That sets the stage. This this vision of an army of trees that's invaded Judah from the north has stopped at Israel. It stopped outside of the gates of Jerusalem. Its advance has stopped, and as it comes, we see God is taking a mighty axe, and God is cutting through the trees, whoosh, and the mighty one of Israel, the creator of the world himself, hacks off the tall timber of Assyria and brings freedom and a new chance to the people of Judah. And here, beginning at verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse." Right? So from one of those stumps that had just been cut, a shoot is coming up. "From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the mighty, seemingly unstoppable army of Assyria is stopped in its tracks by the mighty one himself.